said. It's a great honor for me to be back with you again. And I echo what he said about this church, what it means to me. We go back a long ways, old and dear friends. Everybody's getting gray and or bald or both. And I just thank the Lord for you, for your pastor and his dear wife. We've been friends a long time, Edwin. And I highly value that. Old friends are very special, aren't they? Need to nurture those and keep them, hold on to them. And I thank the Lord for you, Bruce, and that message you're preaching has blessed me so much over the years. I turn it. There's one fellow I listen to the most, my pastor. And then I turn to men like you and Brother Todd and others, but I thank the Lord for that. I know you love my pastor, my father, and my mother, and they know it, and you're always concerned about their welfare, and I'll just tell you right now, they're doing well, doing very well, and they send their love and their greetings, and he wants to go home so badly, and I keep telling him, you can't will it to happen. You can't will it, but they're still in every service, and I'll give them your greetings as well. So many of you have told me to tell them hello, and I'll do just that. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. I've got an old story for you. One that most in here probably have heard, and I'm just quite sure that there's someone who hasn't. And I love the old stories, don't you? The old types and pictures. The old gospel story. Just can't hear it enough. I get excited when I hear a man's going to preach on these same old things. Brother Todd asked me a while ago, before I came here, what my text was. And I said, I'm not telling. I want to surprise you. Hebrews 11, you know this chapter is the chapter, what we call the Hall of Faith. The names of men and women esteemed highly by the saints, esteemed highly by God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the names go on and on. Joseph, David, Samuel, and others. And though they are sinners, they were sinners. There's no mention of their sins in this chapter. No mention. Because the book of Hebrews, from start to finish, from chapter 1 up to chapter 11, is all about the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? About the great high priest, about Christ, the Lamb of God, who came to put away the sins of his people. And that blood did actually put away their sins, and so when you come to chapter 11, there's no mention of their sins. No mention. They're put away. All but one, that is. One person. Her sin is mentioned. Look at verse 31 with them. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. The harlot Rahab. She is called that throughout the scriptures, isn't she? James spoke of Abraham and his great faith, and then he talked about the harlot Rahab. Seems that she's destined to forever wear this name, isn't she? The harlot Rahab. However, this is not a scarlet A that she's wearing to her shame. Did you read that book when you were in school? If you're over, I guess, 55 or something, you had to read that book, The Scarlet A, where this adulterous was caught in the act of adultery, and she was punished and sentenced to wearing this scarlet A on her for the rest of her life, to her shame, to her guilt and her shame, wasn't it? Well, this is no letter or no title of shame to her, but rather to the glory of the one who saved her from this sin. It is a testimony, an eternal testimony to the grace of God that saves the chief of sinners. It's a reminder for all throughout eternity that Jesus Christ did indeed come into this world to save sinners, even the chief. Do you not always refer to her as Rahab the harlot? Do you not? But how do you think of her when you refer to her? Now, you don't think down on her, do you? In fact, Brother Chris, you think, boy, I hope I'm with her someday. I hope I'm able to sit with her in glory. That's what Abraham is doing right now. And Joseph and David and Solomon are sitting with Rahab the harlot. An eternal reminder to everyone that everyone's saved one way. The blood of God's Son. Everybody. An eternal reminder of the sovereign electing mercy and grace of God in choosing them and giving them to Christ and making Him their righteousness and their sin. And they all know it. And they're all like our Lord. They're not ashamed to call her sister. And they're just honored to be there with her. The harlot Rahab. The harlot Rahab. Her story is found in Joshua chapter 2. Let's go over there. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Now, you know that the name Joshua is the Old Testament word, Savior. And the New Testament name is Jesus. And Joshua is a picture, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's Lord and Savior of His people. He represents Christ. Joshua, in this story, God has made him Lord of this land. He's coming into this land to take what is his, what has been given to him and God's people by the Lord. And he's Lord over Jericho. This message picks up where Brother Bruce has left off, talking about judgment. Well, Joshua is coming to Jericho to destroy this place. Now, they don't know it. They don't believe it. But it's so. It's so. And Jericho represents this present evil world, of which the Scripture says so much about the destruction of. In verse 1 it says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Two men were sent to spy Jericho, this godless, wicked, decadent city destined to be destroyed by Joshua and his men, as is this present evil world. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved a remnant, He chose someone out of this place. And God has chosen people out of this present evil world. And I believe that there's a chosen remnant in this congregation tonight. Because He sent two gospel preachers to you tonight. That's how you know. Rahab was one of God's elect. How do you know? The gospel came to her. The gospel came to her. He sent these two men to a harlot, mind you. Verse 1, it says they came to this harlot's house named Rahab. A harlot. Of all the people to come to with this message. Well, who needed it the most? A harlot named Rahab. Two spies were sent there. Two spies. Who do these men represent? I've already said they're gospel preachers. Preachers of the gospel. But the eyes of the Lord, the Word of God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. His eyes behold, His eyelids try. The Word of God is a searcher of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God. The law and the prophets. These two men also represent mercy and truth that met together. The truth says Rahab's a harlot. She's guilty. But yes, mercy says we're bound and determined to save her. Joshua's sinning. Righteousness and peace kissed each other, met together. Righteousness said she's unrighteous, but peace says we're come to bring peace with her. How? It's going to give her a sure token. It's going to make an oath and a covenant and show her a true token. The only way. The only redemption for sinners like Rahab. And the gospel comes to his people through preachers of the gospel. And this woman received these two. This is a real story. This is not an allegory. This is not some cunningly devised fable. This is a real story of a real woman, a real sinner who needs a real Savior from real destruction and from her sin. And God sent two men with this message of salvation. And she received them. And what they said to her was her life. Her life depended on what they said. She hung her soul on what they said. Didn't she? And this message we have for you tonight, these two men stand, is a message of life or death. And it's real. Not playing games yet. We're all like Rahab. We're in danger of the judgment. Until we find out this message of redemption. These two spies represent gospel preachers, and she received them, and she esteemed them highly, and she hung on every word they had to say to her, didn't she? She hung on every word. And it says these men lodged there, didn't they? They lodged with her. Listen to what our Lord said to Jude the apostle. He asked the Lord, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world?" How do we know that you're speaking to us, that we belong to you? We're your disciples, your chosen one, and you will manifest yourself to us and save us and have mercy on us and not the world. How do we know this? And our Lord answered and said, "If a man love me, he'll keep my words. He'll hold on to what I say. He'll lay hold on to it for his dear life. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and do what? Make our abode with him." We'll live with. We'll set up residence there. And we'll never leave. Never leave. So they came there and lodged in her house. And she received them. They came to her and she received them. She heard their message and she believed them. And they lodged with her. And it says in verse 4, it says the woman took the two men and hid them. She hid them. Down in verse 6, it says she hid them among the stalks of flax up on the roof. She hid these men. Did not David say when he heard the truth, "Thy word have I hid in my heart"? What they had to say to her was so dear and so precious, and it was her life. She took it down deep in her, these sayings sunk down deep in her ear, into the recesses of her heart, and she laid hold of them by faith, and she said, "I'm not letting go of these." Hidden in her heart. And she will not give them up, no matter what anybody says. She will not betray them for anything. What does the gospel mean to you? Have you bought the truth? If you have, you won't sell it for anything. Well, buy the truth and sell it not. And this king of Jericho threatened her and said, "Give them up." She said, "No." She, like Moses' parents and Moses himself, she did not fear the wrath of the king. She's not giving them up for anything. Take what you will, but don't take them. And take what you will, God's people say, but don't take away this gospel from me. Don't take away my hope. Don't take away my hope. You can take my life. And how many martyrs down through the years, how many saints have been threatened in their lives with their death, and they say, "We're not giving it, not giving up our hope. Can't happen." Verse 6 says she hid these men in the stalks of flax up on the roof. Every word is significant, Brother Chris. She hid them up on the roof. She didn't put them down in a dark basement, in a low place. She put them up high. And people, this gospel of our redemption, we make mention that His name is exalted. It's not an afterthought that occupies low thoughts in our minds, the thoughts of believers. It occupies the highest and topmost and foremost thoughts of God's people. Our affection is set on things above, and things that are higher, things that are nobler. Our affection is set on things above where Christ is, not a low place. He hid these up on the roof. Well, it says in verse 8, before they laid down, she went to bed. And these men were up there on the roof, and she went to bed. It's a real story now. And if everything was written that was said and done, the books couldn't contain it, couldn't it? Everything that they said to her. But they told her of Joshua. She had already heard of Joshua coming through and destroying Jericho. And they told her this again. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And she feared in her heart. And at this time, they have not yet given her any promise of mercy. At this time, she has not yet heard any oath or any covenant or any promise to her that they would save her. But she feared that Joshua, she knew Joshua, who he was. He was coming through, sent by God to destroy this place. And she knows she's a harlot. She knows that. Worse, the chief of sinners. And the Lord is going to destroy this place because of sin. All right? And these men that came with this message, she hid them, and she went to bed, but she's lying there in her bed with no peace, with no hope. They have not yet promised her anything. They've not given her any token. And she has no hope and no peace, and she's lying in her bed, and so she's got to go talk to these men. This happened. And verse 8 says she came up there, and up under them on the roof, and she had one thing needful on her mind. She needs to hear from them a promise. She needs some hope before she can lay her head on that pillow and go to sleep. She has no peace. She's the chief of sinners. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Look at this. This goes perfectly with this. Psalm 119. She has no hope. She had no peace yet. You see, before there's faith, there's fear. Before there's mercy, there's misery. Before there's grace, there's guilt. Before there's a promise, there's repentance. And before there's a word of salvation or a word of promise, you're going to call on the Lord for it. You're going to ask the Lord for it. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't call, you won't be saved. If there's anyone in here whom the Lord hasn't revealed Himself to, and you don't know the Lord, and you don't feel saved, you haven't called. The promise is sure, isn't it, to all who call. Whosoever shall call, the chief of sinners. She's going to call. She's going to ask for this one thing, for mercy. Psalm 119:145 says this. David said, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me. I'll keep thy testimony. I prevented the dawning of the morning. They had got all, she couldn't sleep that night, Joe. And she said, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. Oh Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. So she has to go up and commune with these two men and ask them one thing. Look at our text back there in Joshua 2. So she did. She came to the men and she said, now here's her confession. She said, I know that the Lord has given you the land. She's speaking of a Joshua and his men. I know the Lord has given you the land. Your terror has fallen upon us. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Says, we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. We know what you did under the kings and so forth, whom you utterly destroyed. And did not Paul say, have they not all heard? Didn't he? Yea, verily, the sound's gone throughout the world. Everybody's got a Bible. They've heard these stories, but they don't believe it. Luke. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's what Romans 3 says. No one understands. They don't know the way of peace, they don't know. They're not calling on God. They heard the gospel from the beginning, same as us, but not being mixed with faith. But this woman believed. She believed. She believed. And verse 11, I think she's talking about her and her house. She says, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. The Lord your God, He is God. Isn't this salvation? Isn't this when salvation comes, when you realize who God is? Doesn't John 17:3 say this? This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. And what else? And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when salvation has come to a house, when you learn who God is. He's the true God. Not trying to be God, He is God. Lord over all. Lord over us. Everything about it. He is God in heaven above, and among the armies of heaven, the inhabitants of the earth. And she says in verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, make an oath with me. Promise me, she said, I've showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Will you show me kindness? And isn't the word kindness the same word as mercy? Throughout the scriptures, the word mercy is kindness. For it should show wrath. Where He should show judgment, He shows kindness and spares the guilty one. And she asked for one thing. Didn't ask for a new apartment. I'm tired of living on this wall. Didn't ask for a new horse or whatever, new clothes or new furniture. She asked for one thing needful. Would you show me mercy? And in showing me mercy, would you give me something that I might know that your promise is going to be sure to me? Give me a sure token. Give me a true token. Something that I can hang my soul on. Something that I can go to sleep on tonight and know from the bottom of my heart that you mean what you say. A true token. And verse 13, notice, she's not just praying for herself. Verse 13, in fact, she prays for everyone else first. She says, that you'll save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Isn't that what you were saying, Brother Bruce, in your message? She had a burden for those around her. I love the passage that says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that hope in His mercy. Don't you love that? Now that just doesn't mean that you want mercy for yourself. But He delights in to show mercy. He takes pleasure in them that hope in His mercy for others. Wasn't that the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? Didn't He pray for others? The Lord takes delight in that. And those that seek the mercy of others. And if you do that, you're going to get it yourself. To the merciful, He'll show Himself merciful. So she prayed for her family. Save our lives from death. All right, listen to this. Well, here's the gospel in four words. Verse 14. These men answered her and said, our life for yours. That's the gospel, isn't it? Our life for yours. If we live, you live. If we die, you die. Simple as that, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that what our Lord said? Because I live, you live also. And also, because He died, you must live. That's the token. You already know what the token is, don't you? But they said, our life for yours. What you've laid on, hold on, this promise, this is our oath, this is our covenant. Our life for yours. And we'll show mercy to you since you've trusted in us. People, all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. You have His word on it. You have His word on it. You know, they say, the old saying is, a man's only as good as his word. Our Lord's good, isn't He? He's true to His word. What He said, He said, I've spoken it. I'll do it. I've promised it. And it shall surely come to pass. Well, she said, ask for a true token. Give me something that I can hang my soul on. Give me something that these promises hang on. A true token. A sure token. A certain token. And in verse 15, it says she let them down by a cord through the window. Her house was on the town wall that she dwelt on. She let them down by this cord through the window. And down in verse 17, the men, as they were climbing down this cord that was hung in her window, they said to her again, we'll be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, you ask for a token. You ask for a proof. They said, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which you let us down by. You bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, and bring your father, your mother, your brethren, all your father's household home unto thee, and it shall be, not maybe, but shall be, whoever goes out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood's upon his head, will be guiltless. But whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood will be on our head. Our life for yours. His blood will be on our head. If anybody touches it, nobody's going to touch you. If you're in this house, where this scarlet thread is hanging out the window, we promise you, you have our word upon this, and from Joshua, who sent us, that when we see this scarlet line hanging out this window, we will have mercy upon you. You have our word on it. That's it. Is that enough? The scarlet thread hanging out that window. You know what she said to them? She said in verse 21, she said, according unto your word, so be it. You know what so be it is? Amen. She heard the gospel. And what she said was, amen. Now you know what this scarlet line is, don't you? Huh? Do I need to ask anybody in here? Well, I'm going to tell you. This is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This scarlet line, it says it was a scarlet line of scarlet thread. This wasn't any little feeble thread. This was a strong rope bound and braided by many scarlet threads that made up one strong, heavy cord that Rahab and everybody in her family could hang on this. These men hung on it. These men that represent the law and the prophets, they hung on this. All of her hope and all of her salvation hung on this rope. And her whole family could hang on this rope. And this is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can hang your soul on them. We're not saved by any slender thread. We're drawn with cords of love, the cords of a man. Strong hope in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you, he said. You have my word on that. It's the blood. When I see the blood, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Christ died. And this is that scarlet, the threads that run through all the scripture, all the type, all the symbol, all the promises, all the pictures, are all of one thing, aren't they? The redemption that's in Jesus Christ, his blood shed for the atonement of our, the remission of our sin. In every page, I have a Bible with one of these, and Mindy just had her Bible rebound, and they asked her, they said to her, we can put more than one or two ribbons in it. How many do you want? She said, 5, 6, 7. And they said, what color? She said, red. And that's good, isn't it? Everywhere you mark your Bible, look for the blood in it, because that's the story of this whole book, isn't it? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cover to cover. Start to finish. Beginning to end. So she bound that scarlet line in the window. Now that line was hanging out the window on the outside, wasn't it? She's on the inside. She couldn't see it. It really wasn't necessary for her to see it, was it? Like in the homes in Egypt, when the Lord said, put to the elders, everybody didn't do that. The elders put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. But they couldn't see it on the inside of that house. But God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And like those people in the houses in Egypt, you know, they were strong men like Moses. They were little weak children. Scared to death, strong faith, scared to death. What was their hope? Why was anybody going to be saved? Strong faith, weak faith. The blood on that doorpost. And anyone in the house, he said, whoever's in that house, your father, your mother, your children, whoever's in this house, where that scarlet line is, when they're found in the house, when we come, we find them in the house where that scarlet line is, we will bring you out. We will. I promise you that. And this is all my hope. Is it yours? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did that scarlet line come from? You ever thought about that? They came into her house and they said, take this scarlet line here and bind it in the window. It was there all along. And she didn't know it. It was in her house all along. She didn't know it. Never gave it a thought. She does now. But it was there all along. And people, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied to God's people from the foundation of the world. Long before we knew it was there, it's there. And like I said, the people in the house, in the houses in Egypt, they couldn't see the blood, and Rahab couldn't see that scarlet line. But I tell you what, she'd go to that window every now and then. She had to give diligence to make her call in election surety. I guarantee you she'd go to that window every now and then and peek out there and see if it's still there. You know she did, didn't she? And why do you come here? I know it depends on the Lord seeing this blood, but Frank, I need to see it every now and then, don't you? And that's why we come here, isn't it? We come here for a man to stand up and declare the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, doesn't it? Just tell me one more time. Are you sure that blood's before the Lord? Tell me one more time. And she tied that cord, she tied it tight, wasn't she? A granny knot, a square knot. Wants to make sure that cord will hold her. And we come here to hear this gospel. We want a man to tell us again and again. We never tire of it. If you're a harlot like Rahab, you want to hear this message. This is it, isn't it? This is it. What do you reckon her thought? Now, these men didn't tell her when Joshua was coming. She had no idea when Joshua was coming. But they just told her, he's coming. He's going to destroy this place. And you stay in a house. You get out of the house, your blood's on your own head. You stay in that house where that scarlet line is, and when we come, you don't know when, but you be waiting. And when we see this line, we're going to bring you out. You reckon she left that house? Oh, my. And people. Oh, that I might win. Todd said, oh, that I might be found in him. You leave the gospel. You get out from under the gospel. There's no more sacrifice for sin. You willingly depart. There's no more sacrifice for sin. Nobody can give you any hope. But you stay under the sound of the gospel and you hope in His mercy and you trust in Christ and His blood. You have His word on it when He comes. Don't leave. That's what He told the people in Egypt too. Don't leave His house. You know, I don't know if who she talked to, but maybe she did talk to someone through the window. And what do you reckon her conversation was? For the rest of those days, what do you think her conversation was? About how to decorate her home? Oh, no. About Joshua's coming. Joshua's coming. Didn't Peter write to us in 2 Peter? He said, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, heavenly conversation, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we who have received this promise, the gospel, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Why? Because our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, said so. And He laid down His life for us. That's the sure token. The sure token. But what happened? You know the end of this story? What happened? It happened exactly like Scripture says it happened. Exactly as promised. Chapter 6, go over here. Here's the fulfillment of that promise. The fulfillment of the Word. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, it says that the city shall be accursed. Joshua is sending this word that the city is going to be accursed. And all that are therein to the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messenger that we sent. Verse 22, Joshua had said unto the two men that spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring her out. Bring out the woman and all that she had, just like you swore unto her. Now who went to get her? The same men that came the first time. The same men upon whom she hoped. The promises that she hoped in the beginning came to her in the end. To gather her. And if you laid hope on your hope in the beginning, people, He's going to be with you forever. This hope, this sure hope. And it says, the young men brought her out, and her father and her mother, verse 23, and her brethren, all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp. Outside the camp. Verse 25, Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot. There she is, the harlot. He saved her alive. She's alive. When they came in to get her, they didn't ask her, would you like to go with us? Now, we can't take you out of here unless you cooperate with us, unless you let us. Joshua wants to save you so bad. And he's outside the door here. And isn't that foolish? Joshua's going to give the word, and this whole place is coming down. Just speak the word. He's going to blow a trumpet. And this place is coming down. And he sent the word. Salvation is by command, isn't it? Joshua sent command to these two men. Don't ask her. Go get her. Go fetch her. Like David and Mephibosheth. Go fetch her. Did they? They sure did. They got her, laid hold of her, and brought her out. How'd they bring her out? How'd they get in, and how'd they get out? One way. These men came up the same way they came in the first time and got her, and they all went out the same way. It's just one way. The blood. The blood. Just like he said. Just like he said. Now, can't you see this? It's a real story. And they're all climbing out this window, and the first one goes out. The first one that goes out, it held. And then the second one, and maybe three or four at a time, Joe, hanging on this thing. It's holding, just like he said it would. From the first to the last, that scarlet line held them up. And people, you can hang the weight of your eternal soul on this blessed promise that's in Jesus Christ. The promises of God are sure, are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. You have this promise. Hang your soul on that promise. Hang your soul. Oh my. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that this promise might be sure unto all the seed. Now listen to me, I'm going to close with it. Rahab has to be saved. She has to come out. She has to be saved alive. Number one, the Lord's promise is at stake. He promised her through these men, through these preachers of the gospel. He promised her that you've laid hold on this oath, this covenant, this promise, and you trusted our word. We'll not let you down. And people, the salvation of God's people hangs on His word, doesn't it? And His truth, His faithfulness, His veracity, everything, the word of God is at stake in the salvation of one sinner that trusts in Him. If every single sinner is not saved that trusts in Him, God's word is no good. Isn't that right? His word, His faithfulness, His truth, His oath, His covenant, His blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the efficacy of it is at stake here. If she doesn't come out, if God's people, if every single person for whom Christ died is not saved, the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't put away sin, does it? Everyone for whom Christ died must come out. She must come out. And I read you that verse in Romans 4. It says, the promise is sure to all the seed. Rahab is the Lord's seed. There are four women mentioned in our Lord's lineage in Matthew 1. Two of them are harlots. One of them is an adulteress. The other one's a Moabite woman. Rahab's one of them. She's got to come out. The Christ is coming, depends on it. She's the seed. And so she did, just like the Lord said she would happen. She came out. And she came out of that place and she got married. And ended up in a little town called Bethlehem. Married a man named Salmon. And she got married and had a baby. Had a baby. What do you reckon she taught that baby, Claire? Little baby boy, yeah. About that scarlet line, about what the Lord had saved her from. His oath, His covenant. And she had that boy sitting on her knee, talking to that boy about this redemption. She said, now, Boaz, son. Her boy's name was Boaz. She said, Boaz, now son, we're saved by sovereign mercy, electing grace to the chief of sinners, through the blood of the coming Messiah. That's how we're saved, son. God has mercy on the chief of sinners, like your mother, your father. And Boaz, you show mercy. You show mercy. You be merciful. And when you go to find a wife, you be... You don't look for the high and mighty. You look for the poor and needy, Boaz. You find you a wife that needs a faithful husband, that needs a kinsman redeemer. So he did. The Lord taught him the gospel. He went out looking. He found the lowest of the low, didn't he? Out there gathering handfuls on purpose. And her name was Ruth. And this happened. You know what happened. And one day, Boaz is going to marry Ruth, and he brings Ruth in to meet his mother-in-law. He says, "Mom, I want you to meet Ruth." And like every respectful young woman that meets her future mother-in-law, she says, "Oh, Miss Rahab, I've heard so much about you." And she said, I am so honored to meet you, Miss Rahab. And I don't deserve to be a member of your family." And Rahab thought, "Honey, you just don't know." And said, they had a baby, Obed. And he had a son, Jesse. And he had a boy named David, from whom the Christ came. She's got to come out. She's got to come out. How'd she come out? One way. Same way we're going to come out and go in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rahab, you out there? Trust, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You have God's word on. Amen.